Okay, the recording has started. This is March 18th, 2026. It is 6:33 p.m. This is the monthly meeting for Grand Isle Consolidated Water District. We are meeting online and in person, and most of us are in person at the water plant. At the plant, we have David Banks for Water Commissioner, Matthew Brooks, Michael Inners, Rick Kohler, and Janine Banks. We also have SOS operators Joe Dennis and Warren Stedman here, and Aldrich and Elliott engineer. Engineering is Jason Booth is here. And we have some visitors. We have, what's your name?
Mitch McGrath.
Mitch McGrath, okay. And online we have Michael somebody. Want to give us your last name? You are muted. I cannot unmute you. Okay, well, we have a Michael online, but we don't know who it is.
The name in the chat?
Not Michael Maynard.
You can put your name in the chat if you want. But I'm getting nothing. So, back to my agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda?
Did get a bid for one in mowing.
Okay, well, that's one of the topics. So,
okay,
I have three things for the additions for the agenda. One of them is just to let you all know that Rick's GICWD email is all set up to use our Kohler, Koeller, at GICWD.com. So we can use that. I want to add cybersecurity to the IT report and cyanobacteria monitoring to the operator's report. Anything else?
Evening.
Yes.
Has Rick been added to the group, whatever the board group on the Outlook?
I think so.
I think everybody has to do.
No.
I think Janine has it.
I think I did it. Oh. But I can double check that when I work on all of this again tomorrow. Okay. Review of previous meeting minutes, the February meeting. I circulated the draft minutes. If everybody had a chance to review them, anybody have any questions about them or a motion to accept them?
Make a motion to accept them.
You have a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor? Michael? Okay. All. Okay, questions from members? I've already forgotten your name. I'm terrible with names. Mitch. Mitch, hi.
Hi.
Do you have any questions for us or just here to say hello?
At this point.
Okay.
Not the hello, but the questions.
Okay. Okay. Michael, online. Again, if you're talking, we can't hear you. You're muted. You can put something in the chat. Do you have any questions for us? Okay. Hearing nothing. Sorry, I've lost my agenda again. None. Okay, operator's report.
Let is coming tomorrow to install our last chemical feed pump. And he'll also be implementing or installing the new Prophecy PLC software onto the new computer so we can access the PLC in the other room. Shouldn't be that bad. Had a emergency call out the other day. I don't know if SOS has sent a bill for it or not, but there was an Airbnb that called me at 11:45 and said, hey, I don't have any water. Like, I don't know. I came out checked their meter. There was no water there. Checked it where the line came into that house. There was no water there. Most likely frozen underground. Warren and I went out the next day, located the curb stop. They got someone out there to jet the line. They told them it'd be $2,500. And they decided to just wait it out. It was going to be so expensive because they had a 3/4 inch copper line coming in. And as soon as it came in the wall, they sweated on a T. So there's no way to remove that without torching it. There was wood all around it. And they just decided it wouldn't be a good idea. Calgon has been contacted to start the carbon exchange. Since we did two carbon acceptance kits, or forget what the acronym stands for, but we had to send them a sample of the carbon. Since we've done that once in each filter, they said this time we don't need it again. I don't know how that will work in the future as well, but they pretty much just asked me for a date to set it. So I said the last week of April, first week of May, just so it gets a little warmer. So the last two times we did it, it's been freezing. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather do it with, you know, when it's a little warmer. It'll be the same thing. We'll have to go to Milton Rental, rent the air compressor. Be a one-day project. And as soon as we get an official date, we'll let the board know.
Okay.
And then just to remind you, a paperwork. That one has been online for 6.5 years, roughly, almost 7. In 2 years, we will redo filter one, which will only be on for 3 years. But then after that, we'll get on the cycle of changing one filter every 2 years. So it'll just be consistent.
Right. So each filter will get changed every 4 years.
Yes. And it was $800 more than last year.
Is there a life expectancy on those? How do you go from 6 to 2?
Well, so originally we were supposed to change it out every 9 months.
Oh.
And Ray Solomon believes there is some biological activity happening in there because it's unchlorinated. So if there's biological growth that's helping eat the organics, but we're kind of measuring it off of disinfection byproducts out in the system. So our numbers started rising, which once the carbon gets depleted, it's not like one of these filters, it can't generate itself without being baked in an oven.
It can't be backwashed.
Yeah, it can't. You can backwash the stuff off the top, but it's not going to backwash anything out of the media. And then we actually went over our DBPs and had a violation the end of last year, beginning of last year, and that that caused us to, you know, hurry up and change the carbon in one of our other vessels.
Time gets away from you. You don't realize how long it had been since we had changed the carbon. And so we decided to set up a schedule so that we would change it every 4 years. I also think that the more the newer the carbon is, there's other things that it takes out besides the DBPs, which is why we built it. And those other things may or may not have been being sucked out with the when we went over the limits. So if we change it out more often, we're likely to have even better water and cleaner water. And
I'm sorry, DVP?
Disinfection byproducts. So it's a byproduct of, we have to disinfect the water with chlorine. So it's a byproduct of that.
Yeah, the line that some dissolve. Matches and slightly toxic count.
Thanks.
Well, above a certain limit.
Above a certain limit. Yeah, they're never here.
Right.
Unless you distill.
Yeah. You don't want to drink distilled water. Okay, Joe.
Okay. 5 letters were mailed out for the large users. There is a chance one of our liens might get paid off. The property in Champlain Estates, I believe, closed.
Sir?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been able to close without paying off the lien, but maybe they did.
Got to look into that a little bit because it's not for sale anymore. It got listed and it was under contract in one day. So,
what happened? It shouldn't have closed without lien still on it.
Right. And that was a substantial one. That was like $6,000.
Yeah, although my feeling is that there's two that are really large, both of which are unoccupied properties that have been more or less abandoned. My feeling is that we might settle those for $3,500. That's only if they are paying the full amount. If they issue the check at closing, that'll take it.
So, who do we contact about that?
I can see who the new buyer is. What the term was. What from the transfer tax record.
It says it's sold on...
And so contact the listing agent?
The listers.
Right, but...
Town listers.
To find out...
We're going to find out the closing attorney was, and because they either the lien on it, they should have paid the lien out of the closing.
Says it sold on November 14th?
Yeah, so obviously it wasn't paid out of the closing. They could have bought it subject to the lien. It's usually not a good idea, but they could have done it.
So the lien would still stand and...
It could be going.
Okay.
That's certainly happened to at least one time before.
God. You should look into that.
Who wants to look into that?
Like a...
Joe?
I thought it was cool.
Okay, good. I don't. Okay.
If you have any questions...
Do you have like a legal counsel that you guys use, or
we do if we need to? Yeah.
Just like if he walks into something, then he goes, okay, this is getting to a point where this probably needs to be done by somebody else, or
we have the person who handled the urgency has since died, so we have somebody else, but.
Not that you couldn't do
it. Oh, no. Just, I mean, I wouldn't really get involved. I would do a little investigating, figure out what happened, why it didn't get, you know, paid. And then I'll call Michael and say, hey, what's next?
And we'll if we find who the closing attorney was, they'll be who filed the return. Should have paid off a lien.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to use attorneys any more than we have to because they cost money.
Oh, yeah. No, but just it was a question.
But yep. Yeah, we
good
have
one.
Nothing else we can use. Harry Parker.
Right. He's been pretty responsive.
Yeah.
To me, I've been very pleased with him. Okay. Request for bids and plowing and mowing.
Yeah, I got one. Did you put it on from board 12?
Yes. I can put it in there again.
Yeah.
What was the deadline?
I don't remember seeing the post. Was it?
Yeah. Janine did a response on Facebook.
Yeah.
Did you reach out to anybody?
No, I kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Okay, should I post it again?
As long as the date isn't updated.
I think it's March 31st.
Yeah, March 31st, I can post it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
March 15th.
I got the one, you know, from Blades who did it.
Yeah, you can always you can always decline to accept any of the bids and be open.
April 15th.
April 15th? Yeah. Okay.
So you got 4 weeks to reach out to.
Yep.
I have the whoever filed the rescue was good. And very prompt.
Yeah, we have a good guy, but I've mentioned to him 3 times last year and got no response. Okay.
and school. Yeah.
Evan.
Yeah.
Yes, my neighbor as well. He owns the Island Excavation Corporation, so they know a bunch of contractors, if that would be helpful.
Sure, do you think?
On both fronts. And if there is an interest, would I just ask them to submit a bid via that link? Is that the best?
It's on Facebook and it'll be on Front Porch Forum again. They can search and find it on Front Porch Forum.
They might want to reach out to and make sure.
To Joe and, yeah, see the places.
The places, because the bottom is up the hill.
Right.
And the other, and also Lover's Lane.
Okay. Are those accessible time or do you have to get access?
Yeah.
Well, they've been plowed.
A couple times they didn't plow.
They can do a free sample.
Yeah.
Couple times they didn't plow and the gas truck had trouble getting up to Lover's Lane.
Near Dustin?
Yeah.
Place.
Just in front. His parents' place.
Oh, you bought his parents' place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows them.
Right. Everybody knows everybody around here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm figuring out.
Well,
that's cool.
I'll set you up for this. We bought our house 27 years ago, and we still give directions by saying, do you know Carl Cobb, where Carl Cobb lives in Grand Isle? Yep, that's our house.
It's like the area I used to live in Ontario.
Right.
Yeah, you just
stay
at Tim's house, and we'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll leave with that next time somebody asks me.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, again, cyanobacteria monitoring. You got the email, I assume?
Yep.
So you'll take care of that?
Yep.
Is it something you're going to do?
It's free. Once a week sample of drawn finished water and drop it off right down the road. So doing it for 12 years, we might as well keep going. This is the 12th year.
You've been doing it for that long?
Yeah, this month I've been here 14 years.
Quite fast.
I know.
I know. I came across the picture of you with a snake. I'm like, wow, he was a kid.
I know. Snake.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions for Joe? Okay, we can move on to the engineer's report. Jason.
So there are a few easements outstanding that you're working on. It sounds like you've made some decent progress. You were pretty excited about one of them last week.
Yep. I think there's only two left.
Okay.
Because he should have gotten the church.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yep. And so it's just the school and this guy named Luke Baker.
Yep.
You got Josh Ward's?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Right here.
So. We have a certificate of title of the site, which is great, and that is a good step forward for us to kind of keep pushing this toward bidding. The two outstanding easements, if we can sort of donut hole them, meaning that if we don't need to connect, if it's an easement for an individual service, we don't necessarily need to connect them or have the easement before we award the contract, that's great. We can still keep going. If it were to be easements that are integral to the project as a whole, meaning some sort of a main line or a trunk line or a multi-service a pipeline, that'd be a different story. But so we've made some pretty positive progress and we still have some time on easements, which is great. So on our end, we've issued the disadvantaged business enterprise solicitation, which is the first step prior to bidding. So that's been out on the street, and we're going to be probably early next week sending out a bid schedule for all of you to consider. And we're looking to bid the job within the next week to 2 weeks tops to get it out on the street. We have everything else in place, and we're ready to go. We are currently still seeing a lot of interest from contractors. So that's very, very good. This has been an interesting year for contracting. VTrans is not issuing a lot of contracts. If anybody's familiar with VTrans' position right now, they're in big trouble. they've overextended themselves significantly over the past couple of years, and they've cut their budget. Looks like they may do it for 27. So what that means is all these community, all these contractors that typically do VTrans work for work now, because there isn't any VTrans work. So it's a great time to bid. We're still in a really good window to see contractors and competitive pricing. So we're pushing to get it out on the street.
The school easement, can you go ahead and bid it with that included, even though we don't have the easement in hand?
We will not take it out. We will keep everything in until we absolutely can't know or make a decision that we can't do it. Keep it all in there. So if you get the easement, we just keep going.
The title there is proven to be complicated.
Understood. I knew that that was. Yeah. But I believe also you received an email from the state about your loan. I believe that has been approved. Did you get an email on that, Janine?
Probably.
I got
a bunch of emails on it that I did.
I think
a bunch of questions that they had. Did you, Janine, you were going to, we're working on the questions.
Right. Hold on.
It was like a capacity.
Oh, the capacity.
A capacity study, right.
Yeah.
That's a simple one. Typically, the state will come to a board meeting and do the capacity evaluation with you. It's pretty
really?
Yeah, that's they used to. It's pretty should be pretty straightforward though.
I think we got approval. As I understood it from the paperwork so far, we have approval, but they won't disperse until we do the.
Yes, that's what you. So you've gotten the approval. Yes, and it's in process, which is great. Actually started to improve their turnaround time on the loans. I was a little worried about that.
Yeah, they say that they've received it. But in order to continue processing, they need, the only thing they don't have, I think, is a capacity development determination, the capacity evaluation.
That's not capacity as in water capacity, that's capacity as in organizational capacity.
Organizational and financial capacity.
Yeah.
So that's where they come to a meeting. It typically goes through sort of a standard agenda with you to talk about those. You may need to provide them with some information as well, but it's relatively straightforward.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of them are about financial procedures.
Yes, exactly.
You have separation of check writing.
And right.
Yeah, there's about 15 questions.
Yep. So that should be an easy one to get through. So yeah, that's where we are. We're moving towards bidding. We'll get a bid schedule out to you relatively soon and forward. So we do want to. So Janine, we sent out the disadvantaged business enterprise. We have to include a template bid advertisement for the DBEs, we call them, so that they can see that what the project consists of. Questions came back, I think, for both of you about location. Pre-bid meeting, and you said here's not a good location.
Well, no, that was for Drum coming to see the plans.
Yeah,
here is not a good place to do that. Probably the town office is better for a meeting.
If we schedule it, we're going to pick a day to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, if anybody wanted to,
this would be the best place to do it.
Yeah, just you know, having because you know we're not here.
Yeah, all that's the time. Fine. No big deal.
Yeah.
You probably won't have a lot of contractors showing up to look at the plans anyway.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a standard practice to
yeah.
have a set of plans. If somebody wants to show up and roll them out on the table, we have them at our office too. We post them on our website also. So
yeah, I mean, everything's digitalized.
Exactly.
Nowadays.
Yeah. Bid opening. Do you want to do an in-person bid opening? You want to do a remote bid opening? We can do either. Totally up to you.
Last one we had was in person in here. I think that's put on by you guys, right?
We would conduct the bid opening.
Yep.
We do both. We do it both ways. It depends on what desire is. You don't see a lot of in-person bid opening these days.
Oh, really?
No, a lot of people are doing remote. But either way. So
it's good to interact with a contractor, though. One well, reason for doing it here.
That's fine.
do you typically interact at the bid opening though, or do you just review pricing and then move on and Q&A's afterwards?
Q&A's afterwards. Separate. So I mean, Q&A is really at the bid, at the pre-bid meeting,
right?
That's really where the interaction is. The
bidders is when separate,
the,
right?
Yeah, when the bids come in, you know, they come in an envelope. It's very, very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you're opening the bids. I'll run through the bids and announce the bids as we're going. And that's typically it. We don't really get a lot of questions from contractors. It takes about 10 minutes. We don't often get a lot of questions from contractors at the bid opening itself. And then we take the bids and we do a full bid analysis that we would bring back to the board. But at that point in the bid process, we should have asked all their questions.
And I don't see why that can't be remote.
That's fine. Either way.
As long as we get bids quickly from you, I want to know.
The bids?
Well, yeah, I want to know.
Yeah, you won't know until they open.
Until they open.
Right, but once they're opened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sit in on it, you can right? sit in on the bid opening.
Well, it'll be like
if it's remote.
Right? Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We what we do is we'll put a
So really just remote, like online remote.
Exactly. We set up a Teams meeting.
Perfect.
And so anybody that wants to attend can attend bid opening. One consideration is if you have multiple board members attending and you have a quorum, that is a needs to be a warm meeting. So you've got to be a little bit careful about that. But we could also, you could do that if you wanted to, and that's fine as well. But it is a, when I say remote, it's an online team sure. or Zoom bid opening. And the bids are submitted. We open the bids as we would in person, go through the bids while we're online, and we announce as we go, you know, this is included. Yes, 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 yes. Bid is complete. Here's the number.
Okay.
You post that to your office?
Yes, typically. But it's a remote. It's via Teams or so I'd be sitting in my office and then hang out with me if you want.
Yeah, I remember it here. It was very uneventful
very uneventful. The bid opening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of excitement leading up to it.
Yeah.
And then
you award it and everybody leaves.
Yeah, exactly.
One person leaves excited.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So on the post-evaluation, the post-bid yes. evaluation yes. part, now yes. is that something that you would bring to the group?
It is.
To yeah. in person? To
it is. So it typically takes about 2 weeks to do that. What we do on the post-bid evaluation, the low bidder has to submit qualification statement to us after they've been announced as a low bidder. We go through the qualification statement. We check references. We check their banking capacity and status. We check bonding and check to see if they're debarred or if there's any issues. We go through all of that. We do a financial analysis as well, taking into consideration the new bid and how that fits into the total project cost. And then we compile that into a report with all the attachments. And then we would attend a meeting and we would go through that. And basically, it's when we come to the meeting, it's our bid analysis, and we would also have a recommendation or that would go along with that.
Does anybody object to having it done remotely? Okay.
So pre-bid meeting here.
Now, pre-bid, that would be like with the contractors?
Yeah. Or do it with the hatchery instead? More room? Or
oh, maybe.
This is big enough. You got limited chairs?
Well, you have limited parking, too. There may be better parking scenario up the road.
Trying to get them is...
How are we expecting to show up?
I mean... Could have 2 to 10.
I was gonna say 2 to 20, right?
Yeah, you could. You know, for the pre-bid, you know, just because people are showing up doesn't mean they're going to bid on it.
Mm-hmm. And
so there could be sometimes there's pipe suppliers that show up, maybe multiple people from an individual company that may be interested in the project. So yeah, you could have 10, 15. Depends.
Yeah, I mean, we could ask the hatcher as long as we know ahead of time.
Yeah, we'll get a schedule together. And once the schedule's out there, we can check with them. And if that works, then we can solidify the schedule after we know whether that's going to work or
not. Yep.
And this would be fine too. It's just sometimes the parking gets a little haywire or, you know, cramming every. We could actually
night meeting.
Typically, we do the pre-bids at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then bid openings are normally 1 o'clock, but yep. I mean, time's good to move around. We'll survive.
Are you still sleeping?
10 a.m. Yes.
I mean, we could just stand up and congregate out there too. You know, there's room.
Yeah. That's not like North Hero where you get that giant area upstairs.
The hall.
Upstairs. Yeah. Too bad our library's not built yet. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's our update. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you could do the fire station possibility too.
Yeah. Oh, that might work.
You just can't do it on Wednesday. Can't be on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's your training day. But.
Well, it's just good. I mean, I was thinking the fish hatchery is at least it's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get an updated set of plans with you? Full size sure. plans.
Yeah.
Just to go through and review everything.
Wish you had told me yesterday.
I know. I didn't think of it.
I could have brought it with me.
Well, I can meet up with you or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to be back up. But yeah, we can figure it out.
Yeah. Or do you have someone going to see Kevin tomorrow?
I won't be able to get them a set of plans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not coming from the office.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, I could always go to the office at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have one printed out and I'll let you know over the course.
Sure.
I can get you a set of specs too. Want those?
Sure. Just to make sure we're all on board and
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will just add that I did get the certificate of posting from Tim. Signed and submitted.
So we have a.
And we have the attorney's bond opinion letter as well. Yeah.
I submitted that with the loan application.
Yep. Okay, any questions for Jason? Okay.
You
can stay if you want, or you can leave.
I'm probably going to. I got a number of night meetings, so I'm going to take time. Thank you
okay.
very much. Have a great night.
Thanks for coming. You get a chair.
Got promoted to a chair.
And it's even warm. Okay. Moving on to the treasurer's report.
Sealed out. Paper copies around. Nothing particularly surprising. Spent about 15% of our budget at 2 months into the year. That's about what we could be. One thing I will say, the audit is going to go over the budget. It was a more extensive process than anticipated. Expect that to happen, but 2,500 at a time. But we are almost done with the audit. We will have an unqualified audit to the end of 2024. Then. It was really kind of out of line. I mean, this financial software is mostly spent because we pay that up front. It's not like we spend $4,000 every 2 months on that.
Things high.
Propane's going to go, is going to be high by the time we're done. It's not there yet, but it's going to run. By the time we're done.
I didn't write that in the report. We did find a propane leak. But that was after I sent out the report to the board, but he said it was not a big leak. They said it was no more than a pilot light. Which isn't going to amount to my, you know, high bill. But I asked about, you know, high propane usage, and they said it's across the board. They said, you know, people have had three Propane Phillips are now on 6 or 7. They said it's insane.
So cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We haven't had any debt service payments yet. The first one is actually in the basket here for Janet next week. So we're going to start seeing those debt service payments. That's all budgeted down in the 1800 to 1900 ones.
I don't remember off the top of my head. Do you have it out? What was like our, you know, not profit, but extra money left over from 2025?
Well, we don't have that exactly yet, but it's okay. Looks like it's going to be about 30,000.
That's it. Even with that 100?
Oh, that's not including that capital fund stuff, like that operating. Operating is going to be about 30,000 with the $100,000 bond payment that we don't have yet.
So you're always looking for money.
You know, meter reading still takes about 3 days, and I can't wait until it takes about 3 hours.
Yeah, the carbon change out and the 7 plus 28, 55, so about 45 of that. Oh, to go to the reserve fund.
Plus 45?
About 45.
Or 45 total.
45 total should be available to go into the reserve fund from the capital projects that we did last year.
Okay.
We only did really two. We had the carbon change out. We had just stuff. Pumps, those chemical feed pumps thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the hot.
Okay.
Got to rid of meters. Then we'll have on the third, about 30,000 dollars from operating surplus. We ended up better than expected last year, but this year is getting a lot tighter, I think. Never know, but.
Everything's up, gas and everything is going to go up.
Yeah,
too.
We got stuff like $1,000 surcharge for tariffs on the Ken feed pumps. And. So. But I mean, overall, I mean, we've got a really solid reserve. If we need to complete the project, you know, the waterline replacement project, we've got some reserve, which is about a year's operating set. I don't need to be very aggressive about putting more money in there. It's enough that we could be able to replace a filter if we had to.
Yes, but if we need it for the pipeline project, then it'll be gone. And
depends what the bids look like.
Right.
Yeah. I have a feeling hopefully they're going to come in a little bit cheaper. North Hero was pleasantly surprised out there. Forget exactly what the total was, but their bid came in cheap, and they're actually added another 700 to 800 feet of pipeline replacement onto their project.
Costs of this project are mostly our project is mostly excavation and things like that. It's the pipes themselves, the actual pipes, the materials are not that compared to the labor, excavation costs.
Okay.
So the other thing just to let people aware of is people who've been on board for a while, they remember that 2 years ago we got a complaint from the IRS. Bill from the IRS for about $5,000, just under $5,000, because they said that W-2s had not been submitted in 2015 and 2016. We can't find records of that because it's so old, but he filed an appeal, and that sort of languished for a while, but I have now heard they want to hold a telephone hearing on April 5th. So what I intend to do, unless the board suggests otherwise, is make an offer in compromise of about $1,000. We can't prove this to be like total. We only had one real employee. The rest of those are the board stipends, see how that flies. And if it doesn't fly, the worst that we do is pay the full amount, which is about $5,000. But
you know, we are, you know, municipality. We're not just a for-profit company.
See if I can negotiate.
We're just trying to give people drinking water.
Just see if I can negotiate. It's the first we had heard about this was 2 years ago.
Right.
So it sat there for like eight. It basically looked like it like reached the end of the very end of their time period, which they could assess.
Right.
The penalty, and they sent us the letter.
And they sent us some.
We went back through the files, and the files from that long ago were pretty complete. And the, from the bookkeeper at that time is no longer in town. It's just, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard to contest it. How do you prove you?
Right. We can't prove it unless we can find them. And then even then, we can't prove that we mailed them.
Yeah.
So, just so we have copies of them.
So. That's my approach is going to be to make an offer that's not laughable, but it's see what I can negotiate to settle it, rather have it hang around. This, the amount of money it takes for it to go to tax court or something is just ridiculous compared to
right.
to take it further than an internal IRS appeal.
Okay.
So,
are you even supposed to maintain tax records for that long of a period of time? That's over 10 years.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think that's required.
That's part of what I'm going to point out is the time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just see, I mean, they. It is what may have happened. Yes, we don't know, but what may have happened is that 32s may have been sent to the IRS. And what people don't know is the W-2 is actually going to the Social Security Administration, not the IRS.
So
I'm wondering if Cheryl sent it to the IRS instead.
Very well be, because the financial situation is pretty sloppy back then.
Yeah. It's possible they just got lost somewhere.
In the mail.
Yeah. But there's no this year, I filed electronically. last year, we filed certified mail. So
I would just blame it on the clerk and say, look, we've been doing it good for the past 8 years.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Let people know. I mean, we may have to, it's probably in our interest if we get a reasonable settlement offer to just pay it and get it off the plate because it's a nuisance. Sooner or later, they'll do nasty stuff like attach the bank account. It takes a while, but if you don't deal with it, they eventually do.
Yeah, we got to deal with it.
Do nasty things.
They're charging interest too?
That should be suspended during the appeal process.
Okay.
Okay. The only thing that I wanted to ask about is something that I've been hearing about and getting notices about is paying invoices that are received via email. Just I think it should be noted on the record that we have addressed this and we do know about this and we are going to take the appropriate precautions to mail to the address that we have on file, not just what's on some invoice someplace. Okay.
Yeah, no, Janet's pretty careful about money with any that happened. And we don't get. The only thing I would watch out for that we get by email routinely is NDOM.
Which we print those out.
Which we print out and you look at. It's unlikely that you get a scam email for NDOM. That's the kind of.
Right.
I've avoided paperless a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I'm seeing those reasons now.
The
case that happened in the news about that.
Yeah. You know, Tinian Solid Waste District.
Yeah.
$3 million. You heard about that, right?
No, I didn't hear about that.
You didn't hear about that? No. They paid an invoice online that they got
for $3 million.
For $3 million, and it was a fake invoice. They lost their $3 million.
It had all the information what they were expecting to receive, and
right.
The problem with being a public entity was public with open records is you can fish out the information and then use it.
Yeah,
grabbed a picture of somebody from the site there or something and put it on the screen.
Somebody somewhere is celebrating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always possible to be tricked. So I don't.
Right.
I won't swear that we can't put possible in the fall there.
But just be aware of that. Don't use the address on the online invoice.
Yeah.
Use our regular address. Find our regular, our known address for them.
Do ACH's words. The main culprit in absolutely requiring ACH for another physical check is the state.
Okay.
Which now is pretty much all like ACH.
Okay. Any questions for Michael? Okay.
I'll have to look up the chin in this district one.
Yeah. It just happened a couple of weeks ago. I went right to my agenda and added that.
Yeah. I think it was last week they had it on the news.
Was it last week?
The week before. It's not that long ago.
I've been so buried with school stuff.
Yes.
Other news.
Okay. IT committee report.
Nothing new to report on my end, at least. I know you brought up something earlier.
Hmm.
But yeah, nothing to report. Got Rick set up. 92 views on the Facebook page since the last meeting. That's all I got.
Oh, that's good.
It's down 30%.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. I didn't go to it this month.
I did. Okay, well, I just wanted cybersecurity added just again with everything that's going on. I'll just repeat again that Michael nor me nor anybody here is going to ask for money or ask you to go buy cards and mail them anywhere or do anything. Okay, so just be aware of that. We do get phishing emails because our email address is out there and our name is out there. So we do get them. So just be careful what you're replying to and be aware of cybersecurity. Don't click on links that you get.
Matthew's going to make us take training.
Yes, Matthew will make us take training.
No one wants to do that, me the most. But yeah, Tech Group has us covered, so it's just be smart about it.
Things slipped through. I had something just this afternoon on my computer. I don't know what I clicked on Facebook. I was only there for like a minute, and all of a sudden my screen is taken over, and there's this voice talking to me. Saying we're going to suspend your Facebook account. You've clicked on something that's dangerous. You need to call this number. So I did. I called Dave.
This is reading it now. Actually, this is actually timely because they're scaling ball construction project. That's how they and then ACH payment.
Yeah.
So
there you go. So yeah, we need to just be aware of cybersecurity and
online bill.
Yep. Any questions for Matthew? Okay. Old business. Open commissioner positions. We still have two open commissioner positions planned. We'd like to fill a third one if possible. So we have a total of seven commissioner positions for the board. We currently have five. David is just on reluctantly. David. And so if we can get a third new commissioner, that'd be great. But we at least need two.
Yeah.
Shiny penny.
Well, as long as you keep turning up.
Yeah. No, I honestly just wanted to come check it out. One of the things that hit me was, I mean, I was involved with this when it first started.
Many years ago.
Yes, I don't know you.
Mike knows me too.
I do. School board. I'm a former school board member.
So, no, I saw the thing about your note, Janine, and I don't know what posting it was, but you guys didn't even have a quorum, and that's like, you know, that's seven.
That's members. Why David's on the board, so that we hopefully have a quorum.
The seven-member board's standpoint, not to have three, that's just, it was like, wow, that was so, I wanted to see Oh, you're scaring people away.
With cookies and smiles.
But no, I wanted to see what it's about and, you know, see where it goes from there. You know, the commitment fits into my schedule. I'm now retired, so I do, you know, it's like a community service thing, kind of. I did the school board thing, other stuff. So
we've really had it.
Check it out and say, why not? So
I've been involved since 2012, and basically all those years, we've had a really good board, a board that, you know, we feel we can ask questions. I mean, in the beginning, I didn't have any idea what anybody was talking about. And, you know, enough meetings and you start to learn. But everybody feels they can ask questions. It's a pretty relaxed group of people. You know, it's just been a very productive board that has done really good things for the Water District, I think.
This is listening to us and being proactive in maintaining equipment, fixing it before it breaks.
Yeah, and I know you guys out in the field do a heck of a job and get kudos all the time and props, you know, so, you know, I did some work right next door to them, so.
So you won't get complaints where the project starts, but.
Right.
Yeah. They dig up somebody's flower bed and they comment about it.
Well, if you do want to join the board, let us know and we'll be happy to vote.
Yeah.
Take a vote. any other old businesses that policy to charge members for water emergencies when negligence is evident? No discussion on it further? Okay.
It would be good to have a written amount that we have there just in case we come up with a problem.
I did find our old numbers, but we almost need to come up with a list of almost every scenario.
What did you say?
Like, we started charging people for who had questions about their bill being too high, or their meter was running too much, you know, probably because they had a running toilet or something. And then we said we would bench test their meter compared to ours here. And if it tested okay, you know, we're going to charge them, I think it was $50 for testing the meter. There wasn't a lot in there about like after hours calls. And stuff
right.
Like that.
Right.
I mean, after hour incidents can happen. I think the concern is really with this is where we're getting repeat calls,
mm-hmm.
where they should have addressed the issue.
What's happened two or three times. I think we tried to come up with this a few years ago, and you know, we just said we'll do it at our own discretion. Because most 99% of the time, if it's a first-time offense, you know, it just
yeah, we want people to call after hours. We don't want the gushing water to wait till 8 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. But after we've recommended they take care of their unheated water meter.
Yes, repeatedly.
Unfortunately, I get given the individual involved there. If we don't have a written policy, we'll never get a plan to stick.
Right. Maybe. I think we need a written. So.
We don't have a written.
Yeah. I think you're right, Jason. Is that
Joe?
Oh, sorry. When Jason's the one left,
yeah.
Negligence thing need to be clearly defined, as well as leaving you guys some leeway or something. But overall, the negligence, because
I mean, there is some stuff. I believe in the ordinance about it's the homeowner's duty to protect the water meter from freezing. Mm-hmm. We do have some protection there.
Right.
It just doesn't spell out what happens.
Well, the consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe something as simple as the second time we are called for the same occurrence, you will be charged at full overtime rate.
Mm-hmm.
Or full daytime rate, for that matter.
It's more like the one we're thinking of was, you know, like a clock at night.
Right. But still, if there's negligence during the daytime.
One of the really cold nights, and it wasn't just that the house was flooding, but it was flooding the road. And the...
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, even if it's during the daytime, if it's negligence, if it's the same repeat, because somebody didn't fix what they were supposed to fix, and it happened again.
I get a call about a freeze-up. I forget where it was, but it's the same place. It's the fourth time they've called me, and they still haven't replaced the heat tape. It's a mobile home somewhere. I haven't replaced the heat tape, and he calls me. I'm like, look, there's nothing I can do. When it thaws out and the radiator's broken, give me a call. I'd never heard anything, so it must have not hurt our equipment.
All right, well, we'll think about it, and yeah. Maybe I'll try and write something up. Tomorrow's my day to work on JCWD. So
I know what I started to do, which I need to continue doing, is look at other systems. Like other systems mm-hmm. send out a brochure of, you know, here's everything we offer. Granted, you know, they'll be a lot bigger about that, but like Burlington Water. Say, you know, they go as far as like, you know, turning seasonals on and off, pulling seasonal meters out. I mean, we're not going to charge for all of it, but, you know, we should definitely have some charges, and we can even put them right on the website.
Yeah.
I mean, and one thing we need to think about too, though, is like, do we want it to cover like SOS costs?
My feeling was that should be like the minimum SOS time charge was sort of the target. I was thinking,
yeah,
the amount
which goes up every year,
the expense,
yeah.
The least.
Oh, yeah, the absolutely.
Yeah, because they're going to charge us for 2 hours at 125, I think, or something like that every time you get caught out of it.
Mm-hmm. I know lane is pretty
low, it's actually low.
Oh, yeah, compared to everybody else. I know Lane is pretty lax, you know, if it's during the day.
Yeah, he doesn't, he's not aggressive about it.
Yeah,
but it does happen sometimes when you get called out on times. We do get charged sometimes.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to just bring up real quick. Do you have anything else, Janine? Were you at? Was that the end?
No, I mean, it's the end of old business. We have new business.
I wrote in there, we had Chuck from Hallam here. We need to watch their bill very closely. I was not impressed with the guy that came here to Hallam's, the company to come work on the controls and fix two computers. I was not impressed because the guy who wrote the contract, I thought was going to be doing the work, and he's too busy. So they gave it to a guy. He came from New Hampshire. I really hope we're not paying his travel time from Lincoln, New Hampshire. But the other thing is, he walks in the building, says, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so. And I tell him we got SciTech. He's like, well, I'm not a SciTech guy. What are you? He spent 2.5 hours here, accomplished nothing, and said, hey, I need to get a hold of Jim, who's the main guy who wrote the contract, and said, maybe we can work on this together. And I just don't think, you know, we signed a 40-hour
right
material contract
with right him.
I feel like those 6 hours were a total waste of time that we should not be paying for. He also said that he's like, oh, this is not what I thought I would be doing.
Okay. You
know? Is Hallam the company who created the software?
No. So we used to use DC Energy, which was Dwayne Cormier. He passed away years ago. And he's the one who, like, installed this software. And there's like two people in the state that know how to operate.
Okay. So DC Energy was like a reseller of the sun.
He was an electrician that did, they were out at North Hero. And he owned an electrical company and he did PLC controls on the side for about 5 or 6 clients or so. I guess there are multiple different brands of SCADA software out there, and this is just the one that they chose to go with. I mean, if you say you wanted to redo it, you're probably talking $100,000.
50 times.
Yeah.
It was, and that was when you, that was the same time as we did the GAC project in 2012.
You said you have a support contract with this company, Howland, for 40.
Well, we have a time and material contract we signed or voted on at last meeting before. And really, I just want to say we need to watch it and make sure they're not abusing the hours.
So maybe you should start keeping track of that visit, your description of it, the next one, your description of that one.
Yep.
Yeah. People just are going to you.
Yes.
Well, don't hesitate to not approve them.
Actually, it's reasonable.
Good.
And actually, they weren't too bad on the one coming and setting up the computer. They came in about $1,300 or $1,500 under budget on that one. But now we're just having issues with, you know, some of the reporting.
Right.
You know, for instance, we have a button here that says monthly reports. We open it up and it generates, you know, numbers for us that come off of these trends. Those numbers are what we need to give to the state. And on the new computer, that is not working at all. You click on it and it just doesn't go anywhere. And I think Dwayne did us a lot of favors, but I think it was also a downfall not keeping up with maintenance contracts and not upgrading the system. We jumped 3 generations. Technology world, that's a lot. I mean, that's like trying, you know, the old system was designed for a Windows 8 computer. So I think, you know, keeping on top of that is crucial.
Do you have a test system on it too, or is it just live when they slam the update in?
The what?
You have a test system so like you can try things on the side?
Yeah, they do when they update it. So like you can, when you're in the programming of it, you can run it as if it were live without it actually making any changes. I am not a, you know, controls guy. I've watched them do it. I can dabble in it a little bit.
I'll ask you more questions on it, possibly some other time.
Yeah.
So, but because anyway, thank you.
Okay. The only new business I have is with courts passing, they have requested in lieu of flowers send donations to Grand Isle Rescue or Grand Isle Food Shelf. And since he was an active commissioner, I wouldn't ask this for just anybody who has passed away, but because he was an active commissioner, it might be a good idea for us to donate some money in his name to these organizations.
Shelf.
To just the food shelf.
You mean suggesting rescue?
Hmm? Food shelf, really.
Do they?
Well, you're in a position you would know better. Yeah.
Hey, rescue could certainly use it, but shelf really has a lot of it.
What does food shelf do with money that's donated?
It's food, mostly. I mean, they have to pay the that person who works there on nights, afternoons, whatever. Yeah. But most of the money, a lot of the food is actually purchased.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of the time. It's often purchased. Often get good deals, but they have a lot of it they have to buy, or near enough donation of actual food stock that
yeah.
Okay, how much do you think is a reasonable amount?
250.
Hmm?
250.
250.
No, I'm just throwing it.
Remember, this is not our money.
So there's always a balance when you're using you're doing charitable contributions out of an organization.
Right.
Well, I mean, to do flowers, it would cost you at least $100 minimum. Yeah. So, you know, I would don't think we want to go less than 100. I don't know if we want to go as much as 250.
150. Make that option.
For 150?
Yep.
I'd second that.
Okay.
I would have suggested two and split it between the food shelf and the rescue, but that's neither here nor there.
What I was thinking too, but I'll go with the food shelf.
For that, that's fine too. I know the name of the food shelf.
So we're at 150. That's the motion. Do we want to change that motion?
Someone wants to split it, that's fine too.
Okay. All in favor of giving $150 to the food shelf? Raise your hand. Okay. All in favor. Okay.
You send an email to
Janet.
Welcome, Patty. Notify the family.
I think they get notified if you put it in their name. Anything else to discuss? It is 7:40. You have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
I'll second. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Michael. I hope if you have any questions, you'll let us know. And so, I'd love to know your last name for the minutes, if we can get that in there. That'd be great. But I'll stop the recording now, and we will be leaving the meeting.
I didn't give you minutes.
No, there's a guy on here that I don't know who he is.
This one I can't read.
It's for me?
Yeah, for you. If you could.
Presence.
I have to drop my car off.
Yeah.
Get fixed. So.
Can I send them out tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Whatever, just as long as they can go in the mail.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have to answer to Janet.